It's a little bit after 8 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, which means it's about time to see if we can get a hold of Todd Dougherty here over at Woodland Terrace Senior Living Residences. Christian Senior Living Communities owned and operated by the Dougherty family for 20 years in Bridgman and Coloma and Niles. And, of course, I know we can get a hold of him. He's on the phone. Otherwise, I wouldn't have teed it up because then I would look stupid or stupider. Hi, Todd.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay.
This is a good thing. We're here to kind of catch up. You had to do some personnel calisthenics last week to cover some new developments at Woodland Terrace, and that's brought you into, from what I understand, close personal contact with the health department here, and your experience, which you're going to share with us here, has been, I would guess, positive. You want to start from point A or the beginning and bring us up to speed and little new developments there at Woodland Terrace?
Yeah, I would love to. So we had, it was actually 2 weeks ago now, we had our first resident that tested positive for COVID when they went to the hospital, which immediately put our Niles campus on red alert. And then we had a second resident who went to the hospital last week and tested positive for COVID. So I would love to talk about the health department because they have been incredible through all of this. And I don't know that we would have been able to manage it to the extent that we have without constant communication with them and everything they've done to help us kind of get through this and help walk through us through this with us. We had the first case 2 weeks ago. Fortunately, both the residents are doing very well. One of them is set to come back to us at the end of this week. They will be out of their contagious period phase. We learned very quickly because I guess obviously we didn't know what this looked like or what the next steps were. We learned very quickly that it's really hard to access testing if testing isn't mandated by either the federal government, CMS, or the state, because in those cases, they have then stepped in to help connect you with labs and testing equipment and testing kits. But if you're not mandated, it becomes a lot harder to access testing is the first thing that we learned.
These folks were not mandated to be tested? That's what you're saying?
Correct. So in Michigan, skilled nursing facilities, they mandated that skilled nursing facilities test residents. It's all based on the number of positive cases that turn up, and you have to test for a period of time, and they're required then to test their employees weekly.
Okay.
We have not been mandated, so therefore we have not, those connections with labs and with testings have not been made available to us. So that was kind of our first challenge of what do we do, how do we test, who do we test?
Did you know that that was going to be an issue? Should you test positive at some time, or was that a surprise to you?
You know, so it was a surprise to us because 4 months ago, we were able to, if we got a physician order for a test, we were able to then get a test from the local lab, wherever the campus was, that we were able to have delivered to the building. We were able to administer it and then send it into lab for the results. And so I assumed that that would be the case. You know, that'd be kind of the worst case scenario, is that we would be able to get orders, then get tests, and then be able to do the test at our buildings.
Right.
We learned that that was not an option for us this time. So we were able to get orders. We weren't able to get tests.
Wow.
And that's where the health department came in. So the health department came in last week. They tested a sampling of residents. They tested, I think it was only one or two employees when they came in last week. All of those test results came back negative. They came back again this week and tested a larger number of people kind of from all the different wings of the building along with additional staff. And those are the results we're waiting for this week. Kind of what we did when we got the first positive result, you know, the building went into complete lockdown. It went back to only essential medical people coming in. We stopped our outdoor visits for a period of time. And then we started screening our residents for signs and symptoms every shift versus just once a day.
So the red alert, the red alert that you speak of, what was the first step in that? Is the first step the call to the health department, or do you just have protocol already in place that you adhere to?
So our first call was to the health department, and then we called and talked to all the families at our Niles campus, and then we've been sitting out pretty routine updates, kind of letting them know exactly where we're at, and talking to other people that have had loved ones living in other places, not in our area. You know, one of the biggest struggles that they had was communication. So we've really tried to make sure that we are communicating as clearly and directly and as frequently as we can with all the updates as things are, you know, as things are changing.
And I know but
the health department has just been huge in helping us get access to the testing. They actually came in and did the testing for us in the building last week and this week. And have just been a great resource and made themselves readily available. I mean, they've given out cell phone numbers to us so we can contact them at any point in time, whether it be in the evenings or weekends. If something new were to come up, we've just been incredibly grateful.
Well, I know in talking to you since this whole thing unfolded last spring, this has been your worst fear because it's not where it started, but these are your types of homes there, the organizations that got the most, well, negative press early on because that's where the outbreak, the first big outbreak was in assisted living out in Oregon, was it not? I mean, and then it just, you know, we started hearing stories about that. And I know this has been your worst fear and or nightmare. So a couple weeks in now, and you say your patients are getting better. Your testing is okay. So I assume you've been able to breathe a little easier in the last days or week. Do you feel pretty good about how the process went and how adhering to the protocol kind of has mitigated the situation?
You know, I do, and we still have access to additional testing should we need it or should it be recommended. So I feel much more comfortable today than when I felt 2 weeks ago when we didn't have a lot of answers. We're hopeful with only having the two residents that tested positive that we've been able to contain it. We're not naive either. We understand how it spreads. So it's still kind of a wait and see. It is truly a day by day.
Yeah.
It's a day-by-day experience right now. I think it's important to say we have some incredible staff that have really stepped up to help us. We've had a couple staff that were scared by this and stopped working for us.
You kind of can't blame them, you know?
Not at all. And if you're living at home with multiple generations, I get how that can be very scary. So that's kudos to all of our employees that have really stepped up, picked up shifts. Everyone's been working different hours, odd hours, whatever hours need to be worked to make sure that we have the coverage that we've always had to continue providing care to our residents. So I'm just extremely grateful for those who choose to work with us.
Through the help of the Marion County Health Department, have you been able to determine how it got in through contact tracing or anything that they might be able to bring to bear?
You know, we haven't yet, So that was my focus the first week of really trying to see if we could figure out how it came in. And that became a very frustrating feat. Yeah. I don't know if we'll ever fully understand how it happened. The bigger thing is now, I think, for us is just making sure that we've kept it contained and that it's not spreading through a building. You know, most assisted living facilities are fortunate because the majority of assisted living facilities have private apartments. You know, the challenge with skilled nursing facilities is they're often shared rooms, mm-hmm. which makes it very hard if you have an outbreak in a building to keep people, you know, contained to their apartments. Where in assisted living, you know, everyone is a private apartment unless you're living with a spouse. So it does make it easier to kind of keep it contained or keep people contained within their apartments while you're going through this period of time here. So I will say that's one of the huge advantages that we have that make us, you know, a little different. It's nothing to be critical of skilled nursing facilities. It's how they're set up.
Right.
But that is one of the things that helps us contain it a little differently.
Well, and kudos to you and your staff. It sounds like your perspective right off the bat there was transparency. You know, let's let people know. Let's get the information out to the affected people, and let's deal with that. Because honestly, I'm surprised at how many stories I've heard of situations, not necessarily in assisted living or in your industry, but just in workplaces where somebody has contacted it, been in contact, gone to get tested, and the organization has tried to keep it quiet. And I thought, well, that makes absolutely no sense. But you're a believer in the light of day, helping out, right?
100%. So that was our first step, was to make sure everyone in Niles was aware of what was going on and keeping up to date. And then we did let families at our other campuses know in our weekly email that week that we had a positive case that first week. And then this last week, let them know we did have a second positive case. Yeah. I think it's important to make sure that people realize that we will be 100% transparent, because that becomes very important when you have a positive case in your building, that people have that trust.
Sure. And the response, families, I would assume a little unease there, but I would hope that they would have had some confidence in you and your staff, as, you know, up until now, you've had things running pretty smoothly.
You know, through all of this, our families in Niles have been absolutely incredible with their compliments and their support of us as we continue to go through this, greater than I thought it would be. And that's not to say anything negative. I would be challenged. I would envision myself to be challenged if it were my parents living in a situation like that. And I am just, our families have been incredible.
So, and you're saying that it's better for you to be on the inside than on the outside. Knowing yourself, yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Well, you know, in that case, knowing that you have a tremendous variety of people and personalities mixed into all of those families of residents, that's not an easy task. And so if you've got a relatively homogenous unit of maybe not happy, but at least unconcerned family members there, then I think that's probably, again, a testament to the systems you have set up and the staff you have carrying them out.
Yeah, it says a lot about our staff, I think, yes.
All right. So now, the two folks that went to the hospital, they're doing okay, better, ready to come home. What did you say early on that?
So they're doing better. One is in a skilled nursing facility. The other one is still in the hospital just waiting to be discharged. There's a clearance period based on recommendations from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services of what needs to happen before we can take someone back into our building. This resident meets that criteria, I believe, this coming Thursday or Friday, where they are considered to not be contagious anymore.
Will they come back? Will they come
and they're back both to doing you? Well, yes.
Will they come back to you?
Yep.
Okay. Well, in talking in our capacity here as media types, we talk a lot with the Berrien County Health Department as well, and I think I can speak on behalf of our news department and others and myself who communicate with them regularly that we have been duly impressed with the efforts that they've put forth to try to keep us on the safe and healthy side of things too. So I think we concur with your assessment of the competency and the abilities of the Berrien County Health Department.
I think we're lucky to live in their county.
There you go, because it's not like this everywhere. That is for sure.
No.
Todd, I appreciate your transparency with us to keep us up to speed and knowledgeable about how this pandemic is progressing, because we tend to sometimes, I think that it's gone, or we just, it's just not a big deal anymore, but it is still a big deal.
It is still a big deal, yep.
All right. We appreciate your perspective on it, and we'll stay in touch and likely catch up again next week, all right?
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.